Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Brother Pike having the brethren take on different endeavors, exploits, whatever it may be. It could be from fixing a vehicle that's used for the glory of God, for the ministry. It could be working on a building or whatever. It could have been equipment, and the brethren would be exercising their mental capacities to the point of overload and burnout, blowing a circuit breaker, you know, and they'd be frustrated maybe. And he'd come along and he'd say, "Have you prayed?" Oh, how many times were we guilty to say, no, sir, we were exercising our intellect. You know, we were showing our abilities and our skills and our magnificence, you know, but we didn't pray. And you know how many times God could be the one that gets involved? I mean, what I'm saying is you think, man, he's my God. He's going to bless everything I touch and just make it. But sometimes he puts his hand between the blessing. You realize that? He'll put his hand between the blessing and be stopping it. And there was some things taking place. I won't go into any detail, but I was pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. And I said, you know, Lord God, you said if I would draw nigh unto you and press, you know, and the devil would flee this and that. He said, but I'll never flee. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. But I was pushing against him. But see, in my mind, I thought that the devil was stopping me. I thought the devil was hindering what we were doing. But it was the Lord. He wasn't pleased. And I kept pushing, you know, and then all of a sudden when he said, I'll never move. In other words, you'd be pushing here in 15 years from now, doing the very same thing, and I'm not going to go. I'm not going to flee. And I had to make some changes, some modifications, some alterations. You know, if we could get into the mind and get out of the victim mindset, we're all in it, brethren. I mean, we all, when something goes wrong, it's always Brother Campbell's fault, you know, Brother Ed's fault. You know, when things start going wrong, we always push the blame out someplace else. And somewhere we got to start taking the responsibility for the things that are happening within our atmosphere, within our lives, within our worlds. You know, I say, my world ain't all that great right now. And I said, well, let's recreate it. You know, that's the first recording of our God. He took something that was without form and void, huh, and darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit moved over and started speaking life. It was a big hunk of rock here. You know, without form, without, it was just void. That's what you are without Christ. Until that light moves over you, that wisdom of God, that understanding of God moves over you and enlightens you and brings light and starts calling forth. He said, let that seed, talking about seed in the earth, come forth, bring it forth. There's things within you that need to be called forth. You know, it's funny, some of the things that is used to bring forth fruit, they put something as smelly and stinky and awful as the dung. And you put it dung around a tree to get it to produce more fruit. And sometimes maybe there might be dung spreading around you just a little bit and you're thinking, boy. But you know, maybe the Lord is allowing some of these things to cultivate fruit. Maybe some of these things that you think are so tragic and so terrible, it's there for a purpose. All things work together for the good of them who love the Lord. You know, and we give too much significance and emphasis to the devil. Oh, the devil done this and the devil done that. But you know what? He cannot come unless the Lord makes an allowance through this grace for him to do it. And he said he's not going to put more on you than you can bear. So if you can't bear it, then what's your problem? He's trying to cultivate something in our lives. I've seen it takes tragedy sometimes to cultivate long-suffering and patience and gentleness and kindness. The Bible teaches us that we have to be a people to suffer. If we are so exalted in ourself and our mind and our thoughts that, man, I'm the one and I'm, you know, this. You know, you are the apple of God's eye. I don't want to take that away from you. You know, you are that chosen one. You know, you're part of the royal priesthood. You know, but there's another one that keeps on getting in there trying to rob the glory. There's this outcast one that keeps coming in and wanting to use your vessel to climb up into this place of ecstasy or royalty that God has granted unto you. And you got to keep on reminding this individual that he is not going to utilize your life and your vessel to get into this glory of God. God's not going to allow that. You don't want to be cast out with him. You can say he's already been cast out. He's being cast out, and he will continue to be. We got to break these things down. I love people with positive professions of faith that, you know, hey, I'm God's elect. I'm sealed in. I can't sin. I love that. You know, nothing could be laid to my charge. I love that. You know, I'm walking in heavenly places, man. Praise God. You know, I pass from death unto life. I'm more than a conqueror. I can't die. Man, I love that, brother. But then yet there's another member that's there. And you say, well, we don't want to talk about that. Well, we have to talk about that if he's utilizing your vessel for his glory and bringing honor to himself. When you stand in the limelight, I'm the one, I'm the man. you know, then something is being robbed, because all glory and all honor and all praise goes to God. Amen. And we got to learn how to worship Him. We don't realize, and there's been many messages that's gone forth from this sacred desk with my inabilities and my repetitiveness, but there's been many messages that have gone forth here that still haven't been heard. You've heard them in part, you know, and I can't say it for every single one. Some say, well, I know I've heard. I know what you're going to say before you do it. I understand everything you understand. That's okay. But you know what? Why am I walking in peace? And I'm not in a struggle for my soul and my salvation. That I've entered into a place of rest, but I can't find that in your heart or in your spirit. And I find torment and turmoil and stuff. So maybe you're thinking too highly of yourself. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we should be able to enter into a rest together. We should be able to enter into labors together. We're not enemies one for another, and we're not looking for, you know, superiority over one another. We're brethren. We're laboring together. And the least of you in the house of God, I need your help. And you could judge all matters, even the angels. And God's going to put you over all of Israel because you're the least. And I'm thinking, okay, I better honor you. And when we think of dishonoring somebody and we dishonor them or expose their failures, then it makes us maybe a little better. But sometimes it makes us a little worse. Amen. By exposing another man's weakness. What makes you think when God shows you another man's weakness, it isn't showing for you to give him a hand? Instead of using him for a stepping stone to go to your next plateau, maybe you should be taking him by the hand saying, come on, brother. You know, I've just always been a person that likes to share. If I get you in an airplane with me, when you're sitting in the right seat, you're not just going to sit there and absorb, you know, that. I'm going to say, here, man, take the controls. Here, let me show you some, you know, let me teach you. Let me do this. If it's in a car, it don't matter what it is. I'm going to be trying to share something with you. It might be to expand your knowledge or understanding, or for maybe even just the pure pleasure of an experience, you know, that you can say, hey, I got to experience that. I like experiencing new things sometimes. You know, there's been many trades that I would never want to do that trade for a living, but I wanted to experience and learn, know how to do it. And then if it had to be done, I could. You know, I'm a very good roofer, but you know how much desire I got to get up and put a roof on? I think I'd rather get beat up, because I can get over a tail end kick and a lot quicker than I can the muscles, man, that I find on a roof. You know, I'm tough. I could do this. I do like to mock flesh and be lighthearted about my foolishness, my failures. But you know what I've learned through observation of my failures? I've learned a lot of things. You know, I've learned a lot watching other people. And then I've learned a whole lot watching the scriptures and the Word of God. I mean, this Word is real. It has got all of everything laid out there. And we're inexcusable, because everything's there. The answers for all world problems are right here within this book. Everything. And if there's failure in your life, if it's business, if it's marriage, if it's whatever, the answers are in this book. You know, when you're walking in despair, when you're walking in heaviness, I remember ministering a message in the first church that we started up here, and I was saying, do circumstances change you, or do you change the circumstances? You know how many of you are victim to the circumstances around you, and then you let those circumstances around you change your course, when you should be changing the circumstances? Well, this guy don't like me, so this is the way I'm going to treat him. So this circumstance has changed your nature, the way you love and deal with people, because of the circumstance. This guy don't like you. But maybe you can overcome the evil of him not liking you and love him. He's an enemy, and you could love him. And all of a sudden you come lay down and be at peace with you. But see, you change the circumstances instead of submitting to him. How many of us are guilty of submitting to the circumstances of somebody else's failures, the circumstance somebody else's hate, the circumstance somebody else's bitterness? And then we enter right into it, and then we're just as miserable. This is a very big problem with parents. Their children grow up, they get old enough, and they start failing. Moms and dads are spending money they don't have for attorneys, trying to get them out of trouble, trying to do this, entering into their failures with them. Well, that's the love of a parent. Well, you know, I'm not going to contest that. Love will make you do a lot of things and suffer a lot of things. It really will. But there's sometimes love's going to say, look, you're going to have to feel the weight of your foolishness and allow God to chasten you on this side. Brother Pike hated for a man or a woman to spend one night in a jail. He just, you know, it just brought him right down to the beast realm. They would take any decency away from them. They strip you off. It's a filthy mess. filthy of what takes place. But then yet, hell's real. That individual that's being stripped off there and made shame, when he finds himself in hell, everything's exposed. He's going to be there to be tormented, ravished, chewed on, molested, burned, you know, with no being consumed. Hell's real. And sometimes maybe they could taste a little bit of that. Amen. Let's pray. We're going to go right into the Word. Let's pray. Most gracious Father, thank you, Lord God. Father, if I speak of your mercies, Father, I speak out of experience of your mercy that you granted to me and shown to me. Lord God, if I was to speak about your judgment, Lord God, I could speak with the experiences, with the wounds and the stripes from my foolishness. Father, if I was going to speak about any aspect of you, I thank you that I've experienced many of these things, Lord, that it's something that has become not a fairy tale or a history lesson, but a reality. Father, we know when we read the scriptures that we're written epistles, read known of all men. Father, and I want to be a reality of the word manifest. Father, I know that I've, in my weakness, have tainted that cannot be tainted, Lord God, in one realm, but I've tainted it, Father. I could possibly say there's been times that the globe has been tainted or tarnished, Lord, to not let the light forth as it should. Father, I ask you, as we try to help others, that we find, Lord God, that we can be what you would have us to be. Father, knowing that all of creation and all of eternity, Father, that we have control, Father, and access of destiny. Father, we know that we read in the scriptures of predestination. So we know that there is a predestination chosen by you, your mercy and grace. We accept and believe that. But we do know we have also a control of destiny that can only come by rending the veil of understanding. Father, help us to perceive and understand in Jesus' name. You can be seated this morning as they're dismissed for Sunday school class. Be in prayer for them there. Lord, tarry the next generation to carry the mantle, the next generation to carry the grace, the mercy, the love, the next generation. Are you doing your part to prepare? Mothers, fathers, are you doing your part to prepare this next generation of evangelists? The next generation of the virtuous girls, wives, are you doing your part in that? We're probably standing at a threshold of so many things right now, that there's so many things that are changing, so many things being exposed, so many things that are happening. It's almost mind-boggling to see what's going on. We got to be so careful not to get caught in the snare. We can get into a snare of religious order, of just going along with, so to speak, the flow. You know, it's easy to get along and just kind of go along with the flow. You know, but when God puts you in a different direction, it seems like what would appear to be the normal, then we've got complications when we're going against it, so to speak. Sometimes we could feel in our life that why is this message of Christ so complicated? Why is it so hard? You know, and I go and I find strength and I say it's really not that complicated nor that hard. When I look and read about men that endured cross, real cross. We Americans have been spoiled so long. You know, a kid could open up a pantry full of food and say, there ain't nothing to eat here. Anybody ever heard of that? There's nothing in it. Well, no, there wasn't toasted already for you and jump out. You know, you open up the pantry and you expect it to be a five-course meal looking at you. You know, but sometimes we got to work. You know, and we're all guilty. You know, there ain't nothing here. You'd never hear that expression out of a little child in a country that used 2-liter bottle to go get some infested water to drink and bring home to their family. You'd never hear nothing. So what are you making your analyzation from? What are you making your judgment from? Well, you know, we live in the house of plenty and God's blessed and give us provisions and man, we're just really doing well. And I say, well, praise God. But then yet we think about him and his royalty and at Him being the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the God that created everything, all things visible, all things invisible. But He condescended down to men to suffer that they could have life. Do we do that? Do we have anything in our members that is willing to suffer for the soul or for the sake of another man or another woman or even a family member? Do we have that? Can God allow you to be going through things to see what kind of attributes are in your life? You know, you've heard me use expressions here from the sacred desk that God puts sparring partners. Come on now. You know, you think, oh, I don't think He does. Well, I know He does. Well, that's why you're here. No. No. That wasn't nice. But no, seriously now. You know, if He's going to tell us we're soldiers for Christ, we keep ourselves unspotted from the affairs of the world, okay? A soldier, you know, if we're going to get to a revelation of what a soldier is somebody that fights for a cause. Tells us to put on the armor of God. Why? For when R&R at the beach. Man, it's hard to sunbathe with this breastplate of righteousness on, you know. Can I take it off, you know? You know, it's hard to carry this tanning lotion when I got a shield in this hand and a sword in the other. You know, who's going to carry my tanning lotion for me? And I got sand in my toes, man. These gospel shoes of peace ain't keeping the sand out of my toes. You know, boy, I tell you, it's tough being a servant of God and a soldier for Christ when we're at the beach. Man, what's wrong with going to the beach? I didn't say there's anything going wrong with going to the beach, but I'm just telling you, what do you give your armor for? The beach isn't the problem, brethren. It's the atmosphere that you're intermingling with when you're there. Beach is wonderful. Man, Brother Pike used to love to go to the beach. He used to get out and walk. He said, there ain't anything I like better than going out there. And he said, man, getting in that salt water and feeling the sand between my toes. That's exactly what he said. But he wouldn't find no pleasure in doing that when he's got, you know, 6,000 women stripped off all around. He wouldn't be there. He wouldn't do it. Oh, what is he, too good for that? You know, brethren, he was a man that was concerned about what he saw and what kind of thoughts that they stimulated in his mind. You know, and those things do it. That's why women strip off. It stimulates thoughts in a man's mind. And then they want to say that they're a child of God and they want to win souls into the kingdom. They're swinging their backside and swinging around. And, you know, they just love it when men google eye over them or whatever. And they say they're a Christian. Why would they do that? Why would a Christian woman do that? Why would a virtuous woman do that? So then there's a lack of understanding. There's problems there. I'm going to read some scripture to you this morning. There's some things that I'm going to trust God. They're in my spirit. I could tell you that. There might be some revelational things laying in there that could reveal something to you to help you. Because you need to be in a rest. You in your spirit should be in a perfect rest this morning. You shouldn't be troubled. You know, and I know that there's many perplexities in this world that are going to trouble us. Brother Pike said, I feel like I'm carrying the weight of the world. Well, then what you're saying doesn't make sense. But see, he had a burden in the cross. But there was a place of rest that he entered into that he was able to carry the burden and the load without it destroying him. And when these burdens start destroying you, then there's too many violations of the word in the scriptures. Too many people are moving into things that aren't Christ-like. And they feel justified because of the actions of another person. Well, it's okay for me to fail. It's okay for me to lose my spirit. It's okay for me to be just angry and bitter about this because of this other individual's wrong. When is it okay? When it is okay to have something destroying you because of somebody else's failure? If you're suicidal and then I want to blow my brains out, that doesn't make sense to me. I should have mercy for you and compassion. You know, but if I start finding these fleshly attributes in my life because of somebody else's fleshly failures, then there's something wrong with me. I should be at peace. When they speak all manner of evil against me, I should be at peace. If I'm all fleshly and riled and mad and angry, and then I start spewing viciousness back to them, you know, if some preacher's rebuking me and telling me I'm of the devil, and then I just get vicious and I'm spewing back at him, all I did was enter into exactly what he wanted me to do. Devils like to poke you. I don't like get poked in the ribs. I get in the flesh real fast. Okay, I have weakness. Okay. Need to get prayed through, brother. I'm still praying about it. And there was an agitating devil at Bethlehem. I could call his name. You'd get mad at him. But man, he loved to come up. It didn't matter. He'd want to come up and jam me in the ribs. He kept on. But I got in the flesh. But the man kept pressing and pressing. But see, he allowed me to get a devil on me. He pressed me to get a devil on me. I failed. Can a devil torment you in such a way that you fail? Sure he can. But somewhere we got to exercise godliness and dominion over those fleshly failures. So I exposed to you, say, oh yeah, I failed, this and that, and I have. This was 20 years ago. I haven't done it since then. No, I wish that was the truth. Amen. But what is the devil poking at you at? Where does he find a breach in your wall at? Where does he find this place to wiggle into to cause you to fail? And then when you fail, it brings condemnation to you. The Bible said there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus to them that walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh. So if you're walking in the flesh, there's going to be condemnation. So when condemnation comes to you, we always have a way of taking these scriptures, the positive side of them, without the conquering of the negative side of them. We just think, well, Jesus done it all for me. Well, if he done everything for me, why did he give me a sword and a shield and a helmet? He's expecting me to fight, to be a good soldier for Christ. He's expecting to be a man of valor. He's expecting me to be more than a conqueror. He's expecting and training me with an expectation to fight the good fight of faith. Faith, brethren, is perfected through works. He's expecting me to bring forth works. So you could see in my life that I'm lacking the performance of works, but you can't see in your own life that you're lacking performance of works. And because of my lack and my performance doesn't justify your lack or your non-performance. And this is, again, the struggle that Christian people find themselves in. They feel justified. I was speaking to a brother. I said, okay, let's just hypothetically say, okay, man, I believe Brother George was an awesome brother in the Lord. He was a man just like you're a man, I'm a man. He struggled with many things that you struggle with and even more to his own testimony. He was in a fight of faith. But let's just hypothetically say for a moment that he was a serpent seed, okay, using some other people's terminologies. He's in hell. Everything that he built and everything he stood for is destroyed and gone. Okay, now what? So that justify us to go to hell? Can you just go on? Well, I'm going to just, that would put more of a burden on us. If that was the case, that would put more of a burden on us to carry an expectancy for the Lord to bring forth grace and love and strength and power and salvation to people. I find no strength in the failure of a group. I find no strength in that. It doesn't justify, okay, well, they were wrong. So then I'm going to just rip out the whole Bible because of their errors and their wrong. I can't do it. I got to press in. Even the Bible teaches that don't do as, these Pharisees do. Do what they say. If I'm bringing forth the Word of God up here and I'm failing it, does that justify you to fail and make it okay for you to fail? No. Do what I'm saying. Okay, I'm a failure. Praise God. Okay, but do what I'm teaching and what I'm telling you to do. It doesn't make your eternity more sealed or more secure if I'm failed. If I fail, it should be put more of a responsibility on you. In my weakness, it should put more of a responsibility on you to take up my slack. If I'm not fulfilling here as a pastor, you can sit back and rejoice in my failures to make you feel better, but really you're responsible because you're part of this body and you should be strengthening the head of this body. You should be strengthening this thing by getting on board with it and encouraging it. If you want to discourage it, you're going to find discouragement in your life. If you want to stomp on it, you're going to find yourself being stepped on. You see, we receive the fruit of our thoughts. And if my thoughts are wicked towards you, I'm receiving wicked fruit, brother. If I hate you, I'm going to be receiving things of such. You see, we got to be careful. All right, 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. I'm going to read through this. It's a little ways down where I'm wanting to go, but there's some beautiful word in here. If I just came and read this chapter to you this morning, we went home, we could praise God and rejoice in the Lord. Amen. I know how to preach the gospel. I'd like to think that maybe we were going to just slow down and just do some teaching maybe and some meditating, some thoughts on his word, some examining of our own self to see, am I really applying this word? Am I really a doer of this word? Am I really hearing what is being said to me? Am I really applying what is written here? And because of other people's failures and we're living in such a dark world, maybe your candlelight might seem real bright to you, and that's wonderful. But, you know, let's get more light to expose and remove more things out of our hearts, our minds, our thoughts, and our lives that we can do, be more productive for God. Amen. I'm going to make an attempt to read the scriptures, and I hope there's life in the word, that it's not just a hearing of the word, but it's going to be a spirit of quickening, that through my stumbling and inabilities to read, there's be something to penetrate your heart, your mind, your spirit. Amen. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and not made with hands, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So here we got rending the veil right here at the very beginning of this thing, rending the differences between two different tabernacles here. Amen? For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. You know, we could really go into a real beautiful holiness message right there, couldn't we? I mean, there's so many things in the revelation of God right there. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. And you could be fully clothed, but then in the spiritual realms of God, you could be naked as a jaybird. You don't understand what I'm saying? You know, if you're stripped of the armor of God, you're in a vulnerable way. You are. If so being that being clothed, we shall be not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burned, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality may be swallowed up of life. You've heard much said about the wedding garment. And some found their way, they climbed up another way without this wedding garment, and they were cast out. You could get a vision of you climbing up a ladder, you know, whatever you want to enter it in your mind. But there are things that we climb into intellectually. And we climbed there without this garment. And when we get there, we found being cast out. A leading brother at Bethlehem that found himself oftentimes had a vision. He worked, he labored under the pastor continually. He made himself available. Usually, if you found Brother Pike out fellowshipping with the brother, and this man was there. Brother Pike had a vision. And he was way up on a cloud in beautiful places. I'm a pilot. I can remember going up into the cumulus clouds, man, and flying right at the tops of them, broken clouds, you know, and blue, beautiful sky, and going through these, just beautiful. You know, it has its own kind of beauty. You know, I guess you could imagine it like an eagle flying there for a moment. I mean, there's some beautiful things in the aviation world, and they're very allegoric. But I can remember being there, but Brother Pike's up on this cloud, and here's this brother, had a tall ladder coming from the earth. And he climbed up there, and he steps on this cloud where Brother Pike was at. You know, you think, man, here's the pastor. Man, glory to God, brother. You made it, man. You come up here where I'm at. Praise God. You've entered into heavenly places. But that's not what happened. He got up on the top rung getting ready to get off where Brother Pike was, and Brother Pike took his foot and kicked the ladder. And the ladder and the man went back tumbling to the earth. And you think, God, what kind of pastor is that? That was Jesus. The Bible says when they climb up another way, I'm not using a ladder, brother. We're caught up. Amen. This guy came up another way. Evidently, this pastor saw that he didn't have this garment on. We could climb up through our intellect. We could climb up with our quotes. We could climb up with these kind of things, but it's not real, brethren. We want to be real. I don't want you to think I have something for I could be accepted of you. I want to show you I have something for I could share it with you. Do you understand that? There's a difference of sharing and talking about. I shared a story with you about a guy, you know, all through the summer months that he was Mr. Snow Ski International. I couldn't wait till the snow hit the mountains. Man, you know, matter of fact, I didn't care if he had money. I'll buy your ticket. It's on me. I told you I'm a jerk. I know that. But it's a similar story. A man lifted up in his own mind. You know, and man, he's the one. Well, let's go prove it. My dad did the same thing with the guy in the airplane. He was an ace pilot in World War II. Boy, he'd done this and done that. And boy, and all the girls just flocked around him. So dad goes, come on, let's go flying. Dad got him out to the airport, and they're walking up the airplane, and he took keys out of his pocket, and he threw them to him. Here, you fly. Guy didn't know how to unlock the door, let alone fly the airplane. Mr. Ace Pilot. But see, he got a satisfaction of being something that he wasn't. He got a satisfaction for... You see, that's fake. It's phony. There's an exposure to these kind of things. The guy that, you know, was Mr. Snow Skier, I took him right up on a pretty steep hill. And I skied down and went back up, skied back down, went back up, and he's still walking down it 2 hours later. I laughed every time I went by him. I told you I'm a jerk. Now, do we do this to people that are fake? People that don't have fruit? Do we do the same kind of things to them? You see, somewhere there's got to be some proving. If we take a man and we put him in the military, we put him through boot camp, but he's going to be proven. They're going to go through some kind of a physical endurance to see if they've met the requirements or the mark of their training. Can he shoot? Can he run? Can he carry this weight? Put 90-pound backpack on you and take off and run 5 miles? Hey, you're proving something out, aren't you? You know, we can sit around and talk about it in the barracks. Yeah, you know, I could do this, this, that, but you're going to be proved. God is going to allow you to exercise faith, brethren. He is going to allow you to have to call upon Him and say, God, I need some strength here. My strength is growing weary. I'm getting weak. And He said in your weakness that we could call upon Him and find His strength. So sometimes He's going to allow us to exert and exhaust all of our strength out, for we could at that point, because you've exhausted yours, that now you say, I've got to tap into something spiritual. And then when you tap in, you get this thrust, this power, this strength, this anointing, you know, this thing. And all of a sudden you feel like you've got something now that could make it. But you had to exhaust this other one out. Sometimes your finances have got to be exhausted. And then all of a sudden you feel like, man, there's just no way here. And then all of a sudden the supernatural moves in your behalf. It might be the increase or the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes or something of such. And you think, wow, praise God. And now all of a sudden you find strength. We can't fall into despair of not having the food. We might have to have a widow's house experience. You might have to be the widow woman. You might have to say, hey, I got just enough for me and my family here, and we're going to go die. And he said, well, look, if you would follow the Lord, if you would follow after the Spirit of God, and you would take this little nothing of morsel that you have, and this little bit out of this oil, and you give this as unto the prophet of God, and God said, it'll never go dry. And it didn't. It's testified in the Scriptures. But see, you could have been that widow woman and looked at a man of God and said, you know, you know, hey, so be it, whatever, but I'm going to go feed my son, and it would have perished. I'm going to go feed my son, and we're going to partake of this and go. But it said the meal barrel never went dry. The curse wall never went slack. What is God doing with you? If this is His attribute, if this is the way God is, and this is what God's doing for you, then what are you walking away from? What are you not taking the challenge of? What has come in your way that there hasn't been another child of God go through? What has happened in your home or in your marriage or in your business or in your family that He hasn't been through? He was crucified in the house of His friends. The people that He was giving His all to were turning and rending Him. And when He would do good to them, they would turn and do evil unto Him. So what did He go through that you're not going through? And why would you get into some kind of a place and you're walking in your life saying, oh me, you poor thing. And sometimes, you know, it's like, okay, God help me here. And He just pours more on you. Well, what kind of God are you? He's the kind of God expecting you to wake up, snap out of it, and start showing yourself to be a man of valor. Well, what about the woman? Come on, what about the woman? Poor little thing. Poor thing. Poor thing. Man, we could go into the Scriptures and we could find some women that had some endurance and some faith. Some virtuous woman. They were burning the candle, man, all night. Making and laboring and doing things. And they found strength and they kept on. They continued on. They continued. Sometimes God had to go down to the house of harlotry, so to speak, to show a woman with faith. Let some men out the window, huh? Putting herself in harm's way in her life. And God honored and spared the whorehouse. What kind of God we serve in here? Huh? You know, God's going to show himself, and he's going to show himself, and he's going to astound you. And he's going to reach to somewhere and reach and pick somebody up that nobody wanted anything or think they could do anything. And all of a sudden, he's going to go right by your polished self. It's happening. I'm watching it happening, brother. As I said, I heard the testimony of a mother, her son and daughter that have been in established ministry for many, many years, up into 30-some years. Wife works and on the payroll of the church. Boy, I tell you what, we've got a good Christian family here. They're founded, they're sound, they're structured. You know, they're in the house of God. They labor in the church on the church payroll. And then immorality comes to that house. Adultery. Looking at failure. Looking at possibly an end. All the children involved and the grandchildren, all this. And it looks like this marriage is weighed in the balance, going to end. And then the other family that's been in the Pentecostal organizations for many years and lightly esteemed and mocked us in our strong stance, convictions of holiness. Now all of a sudden they're looking at divorce and separation. But the son that's been the outcast, the dope addict, the liar and the thief has started to find the grace of God right now and maybe get himself to a place that he could do something for the Lord. This is going to be happening all around you, brothers and sisters. So while you're looking at these no good, undesirable, the least, and those are the ones many times that God had to go pick up because he could get glory through them. But he's not going to get no glory through your polished ethics, through your much intellectual understanding, with your super elevated mind of your superior wisdom and revelation and understanding, crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's. But you've completely put God out of everything. It all came to you in your brilliance of mind and because you're special. I'm just talking to mankind, brethren, this morning. Amen. All men's hearts are fashioned alike, except yours. Verse 4 says, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life." So all of these failures and weaknesses of this mortal body needs to be swallowed up with this life eternal. And it needs to be totally consumed by God and let the revelation of Jesus Christ be made known in this flesh. Amen? If you don't believe that God is in the flesh, you're Antichrist. Now that he hath wrought us for the selfsame thing as God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Please believe this. Therefore, why did we just read these previous things? Therefore, we are always confident knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Do we? Do we? How many of us walk by sight? How many walk by intellect? How many walk by experience? How many of us walk by faith? It's a decision we make every day. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now verse 6 again, therefore we are always confident knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Then we come down to verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight, but we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now, many people take this taking about, well, I'm going to die someday. I'll be absent from this body and be present with the Lord. That's correct. You're accurate, 100% right. But what if I said you're shallow with your understanding? But you see, if I am present with my body, my flesh comes with a mind. Y'all know that? Your flesh has a mind. It has a mind that desires the thing that would be of the flesh. It has a mind to observe the things that it can see, not the unseen. So your flesh has got a mind that says, she's looking good. I know you men don't ever think that way, you know. And you got a way of driving your wife's right here and this eye's looking forward, you know, and this eye's over here checking around on the sidewalk, man, like some kind of stinking lizard, you know. Say, come on, Brother Rob, man, it ain't always that way, most of the time, though, you know. That's flesh. That's flesh. That's flesh. It has a mind. It has a desire. It has a want. It has an ambition. It has its own world. It has its own God. I mean, it's got everything that this invisible world's got to offer. But the difference between the God of this world and the God of the invisible world is this one's temporal. He'll offer you prestige. He'll offer you glory. He'll offer you praise. He'll offer you the desires of your heart. He'll offer you all of the pleasures this world's got to offer for a season, and it'll bring joy to you. But it's all going to fade away. You know, it's like a flower. It comes in for a moment, you know, and you know, like, well, let me just give you this example. You know, hey, honey, I love you. Here's a rose. You know, and man, that's beautiful. It smells so good. Thank you, honey. I love you. You know, we'll just carry it around for a while. You know, this old dried up looking thing. And it just like pretty soon, like, that, God, don't even smell good. That's your life. It's like a flower. It comes up in its beauty and radiance for a moment. You don't put your trust in that. You put your trust in the things that are eternal. The things that don't fade away. You see, but people have a problem making this transition into this eternal, invisible realm. Because their eyes are on the temporal world. And they're finding satisfaction in the temporal world. But it fades away. And it departs and it'll leave you. Verse 8 again says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We deny worldly lust, worldly fame, worldly popularity, worldly prestige. And we start denying all that and we're present with the Lord. We've crucified that man, mortified those desires, those wishes, those wants, and then we're caught up into heavenly places. We're walking and dwelling with the Lord. But there's an action on your part. There's an action on your part to deny this other mind, this other man, this other entity, this other pleasures of flesh. We get so caught up in our world, in our little world, in our little home, in our little thing, that we miss the eternal plan of God. And we just miss it altogether. And we can learn by the profession of Christ that we can start speaking those things out of existence. And we can start speaking to the things that we see that are, and we can start speaking to the things that are not. And then with the things that are not will become to be. I hope you follow that, what was just said. You could look at the beggarly elements and the failures of the flesh and those things, and they destroy you and you die with them. Or you could start speaking into it. I've had doctors say, look, this is incurable. We can't do nothing for you. We could try to treat you. We could try to help you. But this is going to be the complications. These are going to be the problems. It's going to eat up your liver. It's going to destroy your kidneys and this and that. And it'll probably cause you an early death. I had a choice saying, oh, good. You know, glory to God. I don't have to receive what he said. Well, doc, you know, hey, I got another physician. I believe what he said. He wants me to prosper and be in health. Oh, many are the afflictions of the righteous. He said he delivers from them all. So what are we going to believe? I had the choice to believe that doctor and believe a lie, or I had a choice to bring the truth. Now that doctor would say, well, your truth is a lie because I got the x-rays. I got the blood tests. I said, I don't care what you got. That's vanity, brother. I'm talking about another dimension, another realm, another world. So you say, well, my business is failing. I say, that's what you see. I see success. It just ain't going to work. I say, well, that's what you think. But I know my God gives us the abilities. And you failed in a state of mind because you didn't believe in yourself. You failed because you did not believe in the Word of God. Now, I say, believe in yourself. Brother Rob, you tell us to crucify ourselves and get ourselves out of the way. But somewhere you're going to have to start letting that self part receive the anointing and the power of God and let Him be the written epistle and let Him be seen and let Him be known. And then you have your faith in Him and everybody sees it in your countenance, in your walk, and in everything you do. I've had the doctors in my face. I've had the judges in my face. I've had the attorneys mocking me and laughing at me. I've had the realtors laugh at me and mock me. I could go down the stories, but I had none heard from heaven. And I done knew that the account had been settled long ago. Hallelujah. And I said, I believe you, Lord God, and I'm going to stand with you. And the people that should have been standing with me and encouraging me and helping me became fleshly. And they said, man, let's just don't do it. Let's just give up. Let's quit. Let's just stop. Hey, it ain't going to work out. You know, so that's fine. That's fine. But you know, when you see me sitting in the harvest field, praise God, amen, partaking of the labors of my Lord and eating of the fruit of his tree, amen, and you're going to say it ain't going to work, I say it works every time. Amen? It works every time. You could take a man that's failing and jump on him with both feet in his chest and say, you're sorry, worthless, no good failure. Or you could get underneath him and pick him up and say, man, I can believe you can do all things through Christ. Amen. And instead of taking advantage to see him fail, we could take advantage to pick him up and say, give me your hand. We're going to walk together in the glory of God and the power of God. That's what Jesus done for me. This is what he done for Brother Rob when I was down in the mire, gasping maybe for my last breath, getting ready to be sucked and consumed in the mire of this world. He reached down into the slop and he took me by the hand and he pulled me out. Hallelujah. And he cleaned me up. He said, man, I see something down here. You know, you see an old busted up rock. But he said, man, I see something down in there. Amen. That we're going to take and mold and start chipping away these other things out of the way. And we're going to bring forth something, a lively stone. Amen. Hallelujah. Something that's eternal to magnify the Lord God in heaven forever and ever. Amen. Come on, brethren. We got to quit letting the despairs and the failures consume us and ruin us. And submit to them. We got to say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You heard Brother Pike and I heard Brother Branham. They said use the same thing. You know, maybe Brother Pike got it from him, whatever. But sometimes we're the chicken plucking around in the stinking barnyard, huh? I never raised chickens in my life. I got some now and I don't like hanging out with them. You know, there's pookie all over the place down in there. That eagle man can mount up and get up into some fresh air. Amen. He can mount up and he can get out there and get into something where he's relative at. Come on now. You know, what are you pecking around in the chicken pen for, man? Let's just mount up and let's fly up into these places. You know, like I said, flying them airplanes, flying through them cumulus clouds is like beautiful. You know, man, this is like, it's just a beauty of its own. I don't know how to say it unless you've been there and seen it. But there's places that we could soar with God and we could mount up with these wings of eagle and we could really, it's something that's not just a story. It's something that's real, brothers and sisters. When you see a man sitting next to you, Brother Paul drove up out here the other day so beat down in his mind. And he pulls up there and I'm thinking, I wanted so bad to go up and hug him. I said, he's got to get through this thing. But he avoided me and I'm sitting right out there. And he goes in and I said to a man there, I said, isn't it sad that we're sitting here fellowshipping in the Spirit with a perfect peace in our hearts. And here's a man so tore out of the frame in torment and hell. 50 feet from us. I'm sorry, brother. I'm not trying to. But I'm saying it's reality. See, this is real. Here's a man in torment and two guys sitting 75 feet from him. They're sitting there just in a perfect peace. We both know what that hell is and we know what torment is. We can find ourselves in a place that we failed God and then the devil's going to jump on us. But somewhere we're going to find a righteousness within and say, I'm getting back up. You know, you don't have to get on board with me. You could tell me I'm a failure. You could tell me I'm not going to make it. You could tell me I'm a no good. But you know what? I'm the goodness of Christ. Amen. I am the resurrection of his glory and his power. Amen. And I'm going to walk in the Spirit and I'm going to follow after him and I'm going to take and put my hand in his hand and I'm not going to let go this time and he won't let go of me and he's going to help me. And all these failures are going to be something to magnify and glorify his mercy, his grace, his kindness, his love. Hallelujah. And when I walk, it ain't because of what I've done. It's because of what he's done. Amen. He is my Lord. He is my God. He is my salvation. He is the reconciler of all things. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Serving a mighty God. Hallelujah. We're almost there. I almost got caught away right there. I tell you, I'm talking to old Brother Rob, man. Thank you, Jesus. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. This body has weight. This body has bonds and chains. But man, we can get cut loose from them old chains, them old iniquities. Man, we can get cut loose from those things. And then we could really sing a song, I feel like a bird that's been set free. Amen. He broke the bonds. Man, broke the chains. Hallelujah. Praise God. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Some men's sins go before and some after. Where's this judgment taking place at? There's going to be some that stand before this white throne judgment, and they're going to be stand accountable for the sin in their body. There's other of us, brethren, that the sin of this body, of this flesh, by faith we believe that God took this to the cross of Calvary for you and I. But then yet there's a judgment today in the house of God. We're going to take and step from the bodily dimension into the soul. If we find and we keep yielding through the realms of the soul, we keep yielding the members towards fleshly things, and that's who we are of, and the Father's the devil. So there is a travail here. Don't forget that we're in a fight, but don't forget that we've got one that is standing with us, and he's going to help us. We're inexcusable when we fall. We've turned our back on him. We should be reaching for him. You know, when men's down, they drop their head. That's the worst thing they do. When they're down, they should be looking up, thinking, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I know you've been here. Help me, Lord God. I got my hands lifted up to you. Pick me up. Give me strength. Amen. There ain't anything he would rather do for you than that. You know why? Because it shows the world of his grace and his mercy and his compassion and his love. Not that we can continue on in willful sin and the slop hole of iniquities and things. No, we can't. But he wants to redeem us and bring us forth without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Amen. Let's go on to verse 10. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. There's some real revelation right here. Let's go on for a moment. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. There's a lot of that that's happening in the religious realms, and it's being most definitely exposed. For whether we beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. Do you catch that? If you're not sober, you're not a soul winner. If you're not sober, you're not concerned for souls. If you're not sober, brethren, you're not walking in the Spirit of God. Amen? For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. When we're not dead, people have troubles finding Christ. They have troubles finding hope. They have troubles finding salvation. We have a great responsibility here, brethren. If we would get on board doing what God, and doing things not for ourselves, but doing them as unto the Lord. I've brought some messages forth. I say, I hope it was him. I've seen he used me as the instrument when I say I. He used me as the instrument to bring forth some messages here. And it's all written and recorded in his word, and I see it written in his word. You know, but we control heaven. We control destiny. You say, well, you know, I just don't see all that, Brother Rob. Well, maybe you don't know who you are then. But see, I control the forgiveness of God. When I have unforgiveness in my heart, I'm controlling the forgiveness of God. I cannot receive his forgiveness because of my unforgiveness. I can't receive his love because of the lack of my love. I cannot receive his provisions and blessings because of my lack of sharing provisions and blessings. I control the heavens. I could take my little bit of nothing and share it, and he can add an increase of his lot and his plenty. You understand that? If I take and sacrifice the only cow I got, I just stepped into the storehouse that owns a cattle of 1,000 hills. You see, that's just not some fancy little saying, brethren. There's a place that you're under arrest. People are frantic. You know, man, I just don't know how I'm going to make ends meet and this and that. But enter into his rest. Be about His business. Commit your works unto Him and get out of the religious things and just really be at peace and say, you know what, Lord, I believe you. The birds of the air, man, and all these things and the flowers of the field, you know, they're out there by faith. They're not doing certain things. It's just God's, you know, every day, man, He's got the seeds for me. Every day He's got the things for me. And we need to walk in that guy. God's got it for me. Well, I know, but the Bible said that we got to work and, you know, just rent a man off from this church because he had so much faith he's going to sit home and be a beggar. And it's all of you people that need to pay and support and do those things. Run them off. Say, well, you know, your message is coming out two sides of your mouth, preacher. I agree. Say, let your eye be singular. You know, then why do you have these two messages? Because one of them's wearing out your devil flesh and the other one's trying to bring life into your Christ spirit. Amen? So which one are you going to feed this morning? You're going to let the devil just get beat out of you and then not draw the strength from the spirit? You see, you should be saying, thank you, preacher, you're exposing my weakness. I can get rid of it now. Thank you, preacher, for exposing my failure. I can go away with it now. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to be led by the Spirit. I'm going to submit myself unto you, Lord God. I'm going to wipe spittle out of my face. And I'm going to smile. Amen? I don't know if I could do that. You can. You can do all things through Christ. Exercise it. Learn to exercise it. You know, I say, man, you say, I see a piece of barren land out there. And I look out there and I say, wow, I see a beautiful garden. And you say, well, I just see a barren land. The soil ain't even good. I say, man, I see some rich, fertile soil. You know, you just watch. You might see me bring a truckload of topsoil in, but I saw that before. You saw desolation. I saw fertile. You saw fruitless ground. I saw a complete garden. You see failure. I see success. Man, this sounds like a Joel Osteen message this morning, man. Woohoo! Man, I might get saved myself here. Amen. But brethren, you know, I can esteem the man as a motivational speaker. And the things he's saying is the truth. But then yet it's tainted with a lie. There is judgment. There is failures. There is things of man that got to be eliminated, moved out of the way. Again, we go back to the armor of God. What are we fighting against? Well, the devil. Some of you have never left the realms of your fleshly failures to really find the fight with the devil. You're being beat up by yourself. And you're failing within the own strength of your own weak, frail mind. And you've never even entered into the spiritual warfare with the devil because you ain't no threat to the devil. I'm serious. You ain't even threatened the devil, so he's not messing with you. The devil ain't messing up your marriage or your home or your business because you're just in the realms of carnality and you're in the realms of defeat. And you're in the realms of despair, and you're in the realms of depression, and oppression, and all these kind of things. And you're not even, the devil looks at you as a whipped puppy over there with your tail between your legs. Let's don't mess with him. Let's go get that preacher that's kicking my gates down. Let's go mess with that preacher that's taking this kingdom by force. Let's go mess with him. You know, but you start girding up your loins and start walking like a son of God, start acting like a son of God, he's going to come. But you know what? You need to be ready for him to come. That's why we got the armor. When you're a soldier, you're expected to fight. You see? And you know, if you're on a battleground with a guy and you're down in the foxhole and you all been through the same training and everything, and the first bullet flies overhead and all of a sudden he's crying and got his head between his legs down there, he ain't much of a soldier. Hey, dude, what happened to your training? Come on, pick yourself up, gird up your loins, you little sissy, come on. I'm going to put a bullet in your head. You're not going to have to worry about the enemy getting you, you little sissy. Get up and put your gun out here and help me fight. What are you saying, Brother Rob? There ain't no sissies in this army. Ain't no sissies here. If you're weak, call on strength. If you're afraid, call on faith. Faith and perfect love is going to remove that fear. You understand that? So you're inexcusable. If you're exercising fear and letting distrust motivate you and move you and destroy you, you're a failure. There's no failures in this kingdom. And if your marriage is failing and it's your spouse's fault, then you haven't taken your rightful place. What have I done, my Lord? What have I done, my God? What have I done to make him fail? What have I done to make her fail? Why? You see, when you take and you shrug off the responsibility of the failure, then you haven't taken the seat of Christ. You understand that? And you say, you know what? I'm going to speak this into an existence. I'm going to start speaking life into this. You keep telling your kid he's no good. You keep telling your kid he's not good enough. You keep telling your kid that he'll never succeed. You just created him. You spoke into existence exactly what he is. You made him the failure. You done that and you say, well, I just saw it in the foreknowledge of God. No, you wasn't never in the foreknowledge of God. Because in the foreknowledge of God, God would have been looking at the little fella and saying, you could do all things through Christ, amen. You could do all things. He could help you do the impossible things because greater is he. And that's the way you speak to the little guy. Hey, I failed these things, brethren. I was a dad that was hard on my kids and things. But, you know, like I said, I did not have the wisdom when I started out as a pastor that I've got now. Oh, yes, I failed him as a pastor. I failed him as a father. I could go into all those things. But you know what? I've taken those failures and I've put them together. I've analyzed them. And I said, you know what? I don't want to do that. You could fail something in a trade, fail something in a business and say, well, I'm going to go get another trade. Or you could say, I'm going to conquer this. I'm going to get my inabilities out of the way. One of my flight instructors told me one time, he said, I don't know how you could mess up so bad. And then you come back 2 or 3 days later and we get in the airplane and you got it so perfected. Because while he was at home playing mumbly pegs, I was flying an airplane. I could fly an airplane sitting in my